You are about to listen to an exclusive interview here on Maximum Threshold Radio at MaximumThreshold.net.
Oh, someone's calling us.
Maximum Threshold, you're on the air.
Hey, yo, it's Terry.
Hey, Terry, what's going on, man?
How you doing?
I'm pretty good.
Did I call? I was pretty on time, right?
That's perfect. At 8:15, right on the dot.
Yeah, wow, and you're on the air, so I'll just let you know you're on the air with us as well.
Awesome. How you guys doing, man?
Oh, great, man. We were just talking about that. That tonight is episode number 300 for us, which marks our sixth year of doing this stuff.
Holy crap. Congratulations to you guys, man.
Yeah, we're in the run for one of the longest on-air metal podcast or radio shows on the net. So we just keep this going.
Wow, congratulations, guys.
Oh, thanks,
that's
man.
Really awesome. You know, it's long time perseverance always, you know, pays off. Hard work, and you know, I know you guys have put it in.
Yeah, we've only
obviously 6 years. Yeah, yeah.
It's like being the world's tallest midget.
The payoff sucks.
Or the girliest looking transvestite.
or the fattest sumo wrestler.
Or the skinniest sumo wrestler.
I like
or
that.
The skinniest sumo wrestler.
I'm gonna have to remember that.
So how's your night going?
So far, it's good, man. Everything's cool. Just, you know, I've been here in Chicago working on the record, and, you know, basically the nights are all pretty similar here, you know. It's kind of, you know, like make noise all day and then, you know, crack some beers around like 5-ish and keep making noise until the late at night.
Now, is the band a Chicago band? I mean, are you guys Chicago natives?
No, we're Southern California. We're Southern California based. We're just here in Chicago making the record with Johnny Kay. He's producing the record. So, and his studio is here in, you know, right in the heart of Chicago. And, you know, it's like a big, like, friggin' 6-story old early 1900s building with plenty of crap to do. We all live here, and actually, you know, we're cutting the record here as well as living here. So we just kind of are confined to this building a lot because we're trying to keep working as much as possible. But it's pretty interesting. It's a pretty old, crusty old building with, like, crazy history. Like, supposedly Al Capone, like, had something to do with it or whatever. Anyways,
How is it working with Johnny Kay? Because, he's done a lot of stuff, you know, working like I was Stained. And just a bunch, Three Doors Down, and just a bunch of big bands. What's he bringing to you guys?
For sure, you know, it's like funny because it's lots of stuff, you know, that I just remember listening to, you know, throughout the 90s and coming up and stuff. And, you know, even into the 2000s with, you know, he did the Plain White Tees stuff. Yeah. And you know, it's always cool when you hear somebody's work for a long time and then you get to go and work with them and meet them and, you know, get to know them as a person and stuff. And he's a really great guy, you know. Mm-hmm. He's you know, a bit of a Chicago legend here, and he's a great guy, you know, tonally. He's got great ideas, he gets great sounds, you know, which you know, we work well with that. We love that. We're all kind of studio nerds ourselves, so we're into getting tones and getting really cool, like, guitar sounds. And he's all about that and bringing out the best of those kind of organic sounds, you know. You know, the music these days is, you know, we're trying out different kinds of sounds, you know, even that aren't so organic, you know. So he's doing his part in keeping all the organic stuff just sounding really awesome.
Is that a Groove Masters?
Yeah, Groovemaster, cool. Exactly.
Cool. Hey,
four tons of those records got done, you know, the Stained records and three of the Disturbed records, I believe, and, but you know, et cetera.
Now, does he work close, like, with your label, or is it just that you guys picked him out?
I believe he's doing some sort of partnership with our label, but I don't know too much about it. But we, you know, at our label's request, we actually came out and did 2 weeks of writing with him before we just came out and did the record, you know. We came out, did, you know, wrote a couple of songs with him and actually enjoyed the process. And you know, we all kind of collectively decided, let's come back here and make a record, you know. There's a lot of reasons, just, even just living here, being able to live here at the studio. It's his studio, you know. It's in the studio, or it's in the city, so there's plenty to do.
Hey, Terry, I'm going to chime in for a second. You said, if I can quote, that you're all a bit of studio geeks and studio nerds. Well, I can't tell you one thing, since I got to see you live last year on the Rock of Legions tour. You might be studio nerds and studio geeks, but damn, you tear it up on stage. I'll tell you that much.
Thank you. Thank you very much, man. You know, we eat it up. It's just been in our blood for so long. I you know, it's just kind of, that's ultimately what we love to do. We love, it's always fun in the studio. The studio is always a blast, and we love creating and, you know, nurturing something from a little, you know, dusty turd into like this amazing idea that's beautiful and sounds great. But getting out on stage, you know, and getting the interaction with like fans and people that believe and like the music and some about it, you know, there's a real chemical thing happening there, and it just kind of takes us over. We love it. We'll always love it, you know. I look forward to hopefully just, you know, being able to hit the stage for, you know, many years into my life.
Well, I got one thing that made me laugh about you guys last year, not laugh at you, but laugh about you guys, is when I heard that Kiss got booted off that Michael Jackson tribute and that you guys got put on that bill. I laughed my ass off.
You know, we were already on, but we heard like firsthand about that. You know, we were kind of excited about the whole Kiss thing, and then that happened, and I, you know, oh man. We were just still kind of happy to be there, so we weren't really thinking right of it.
the way that the different people, the different media has picked it up, it almost sounded like that they got booted off and you got took their place. That's
oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't really the case. But we were kind of, I think we were sort of in place, but whatever, I'll take it. That sounds cool. We got Kiss's gig.
I mean, that's cool. What I'm saying. If you boot off a big national act like that, that's a cool thing. You're like, yeah, baby. And we didn't have to wear makeup.
Well, I was stoked to be there, so thank you, Kiss.
So, well, now I know you can't give away too much about this current record that you're working on, but you know, is the process going smooth for you guys? I mean, you said you went out there and wrote for 2 weeks ahead of time. I mean, some bands write 30 songs in 2 weeks, some write one. So,
man, you know, there's really not been anything smooth about the last like 3 years. I mean, other than we get along like champs now, you know. We're having, and you know, we did that tour last summer. That was really cool. And the rest of this year has been one-offs and stuff. But it's been a long road getting to actually making this record. You know what I mean? As far as writing, and you know, we had to go through some management change-ups and label change-ups and all those kind of things. You know, that just add time to the ticket. And you know, it's good to finally be here, you know, to have arrived at the actual process, you know, and to be like picking fruit, you know, that is really cool. I'm really stoked for that, you know. And now that we're here, everything's going really smooth, you know. Like, making music is what we've always done, and it's like the smoothest thing that we can do together, you know. And we're eating it up. We're having a blast. We're getting lots done.
Very cool. I do have a message for you from one of your fans, a Matt from Mentor, Ohio, sent us an instant message. Oh, there goes an instant message. Matt from Mentor, Ohio, wanted to write to you and say thank you so much. You make it his day go quick when he's at the machine shop working, and he just appreciates all that you guys do. So,
oh, that's awesome. Well, hey, what's up, Matt? Thanks for listening, and I'm glad you get to listen to music at work. I know when I used to work a warehouse job, and the music was kind of what carried me through all the way.
That's what he wrote us. So now our other co-host, Michael, has a couple questions for you.
Howard Stern.
Yes, Howard Stern makes it go quick.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Yeah, well, which is cool, because I know you guys said you guys got Jim Florentine coming up next, right? And we're all big Howard Stern fans, so we know about Jim. He's a cool guy.
All right. We have a very wide swatch of listeners, and one of our biggest supporter is this homosexual fellow from New Jersey named Beavis, and he loves you.
What is his name?
Beavis. He won't tell us his real
Beavis,
name.
Beavis, like Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah, he likes heads in his butt, but that's okay. We're not judging. But he's had a big man crush on you for a long time, and he wants to know why you left the band for irreconcilable differences, and that you're back in the band now. You wanted to know what happened.
You know, they made up. They hugged and made up.
My boyfriend made me quit the band.
Because he knew Beavis was stalking you?
Yeah, he didn't. The band was scheduled to play in Jersey. He was like, oh, no, you don't.
Okay.
You know what? Things were really, like, trippy back then, you know? Like, we had gone through accelerated success and, like, you know, had our bus wreck and, you know, a lot of things changed after that, and the record label was kind of like losing steam and closing its doors unbeknownst to us on the second record, and you know, you go through a lot of like trials and tribulations with that sort of thing, and it was really trying on all of us as people, on our relationship, you know, as partners, as friends, and it just got to where I don't think it was really fun for any of us anymore, you know what I mean? So I think we all kind of, you know, at different times have respectively decided to kind of take time away from it, you know, and mine just happened to be like kind of right in the middle of a tour cycle, but everything's cool now, which is good, you know.
Did you have to kiss a lot of ass to get back in good graces? Like, do they still ever be like, oh, you quit?
No.
No, man, they're not women. They don't hold grudges like they do, you know. You know, they'll still hold that shit forever.
I mean, they came, Mike actually... I think me and Mike were probably the most pissed at each other, and he's the one that came back and like approached me to rejoin the band, which was really cool. You know, it's good to have old friends back more than anything, but to be able to work on our little baby together, you know, that's a real cool thing. So it makes this time around even that much sweeter. You know, we all kind of like know and respect what we have a lot more.
Okay. Now, we like to make the interviews go a little
bit. We're all older now. We're older now.
Are you wiser now?
No.
No. Okay. Well, speaking about that, is Michael's going to ask you a question I wanted to ask because I can't phrase it the correct way.
Well, first of all, Beavis wants to know if you guys listened to Devo on the bus ever.
Devo?
They're not on the bus. Not now they're not on the bus, but they tour on a bus. He wants to know if you listen to Devo on your bus ever.
I love Devo, you know. Have I ever listened to Devo on the bus, man? I don't know. Probably. You know, iPod shuffle, it's crazy technology these days, so you know, songs come and they go pretty fast. But odds are, yes. I'm a big Devo fan, so I'm a big Josh Freese fan too, and I follow him on Facebook because he's rad. And he tells funny stories.
Okay, I'm going to get one question and then the really important question. First, where can we find your music and all the information related to Alien Ant Farm online? Like, what's your websites and everything? And then we'll get
well,
to
you
the
can
most
go,
important
you can just comments. Go to www.alienantfarm.com and it's a splash page. So if you go there, it'll take you pretty much anywhere. Twitter, Facebook, you know. Any kind of outlets like for music, etc. And then once you're on all those, you know, the rest is pretty easy. So I would say a great place to start is alienantfarm.com.
All right, cool. So early on when you guys were younger bucks and a little more wild back in your day and the groupies were all around, was there ever any transgressions with a passable tranny?
You know what?
That's a yes.
First of all, I don't know what you mean by younger and more wild.
Week or two?
I don't know if we've gotten any less wild, and there might even be the chance that we've gotten more wild. And, you know, Dryden is really fond of sending tranny porn around on threads, like especially when we're on important emails with our management and our label and stuff. There's nothing like getting interrupted in the middle of like a budgeting meeting, but then by a picture of a big black tranny, you know, like spread eagle with a small dick.
Do you ever jerk off to that?
Now that's the crossing the line.
You cut up here. Sorry.
I said, did you ever jerk off to that? Because Dave's over here. Dave wants you to send him those threads.
I don't think it's a good thing.
Can you hear me? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, hold on. Give me 1 second. We're going to break up. Let us fix a couple things here.
Get him.
What are you doing over there, Dom?
That's a computer, damn memory thing.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Give us 1 second. Anyways.
Shut some stuff down.
I did. I got everything shut down.
Shut down the chat room.
All right, let's see. Try us now. Are you there? Hello? Try again. You have 900 things open.
Dead ear.
Yeah.
Oh, we lost them.
We lost them. Yes.
Great, so the last question was about a tranny. Thanks.
You told me to ask it.
There, we got you back.
Hello?
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 Let me try calling him.
Anyways, my next question was going to be what it's like to have going to a strip club and hear your song on the strip club.
Hi.
Hello
hey.
There.
Hey.
And I had a great follow-up question.
Who are you calling for?
Dave wants Teresa. You to send him the tranny porn.
This is Jake. I mean, Teresa.
This is Teresa. Hi.
How big are your balls?
Well, you guys sound much better now. You guys are freaking sounding like you guys sounded like your voices were all dubstepped out.
Yours did too.
Yeah. Anyways, my next question is, what's it like going to a strip club when you hear your own songs on the strip club jukebox or whatever DJ?
It's a feeling that you can only imagine conquerors Alexander, or. It's a complete massive all the increases in it.
Dumb stuff is right.
That's right. It's like we got John the Stutter on. I.
Dominic, fix this shit.
I'm working.
Close up some of the stuff you're not using.
It's only been 300 episodes. Why should we know how to work the equipment?
I only got 1, 2, 3, 4 things open. Let me close this last one.
Close up some of the things.
I can't close anything else. We'll be broadcasting.
All right, how's that?
I'm going to go home to jerk off to some alien ant farm tranny thread porn.
Don't be a smooth criminal.
Whoa, there you are.
Oh, wow. You sound good there.
Hey, there you are. So, all right, now let's go back to the honest question. What's it like going into, you said Alexander the Great, conquering?
I was just comparing
it to the feeling that maybe some of those great world conquerors had when they fulfilled themselves on conquering.
Pillaging. So it's basically when you go into a strip club and you hear Smooth Criminal on the background, it's like you're like, I'm going to pillage this place.
I said Alexander the Great, not Blackbeard.
Well,
yeah. Alexander didn't pillage.
He conquered. He conquered.
He took over.
It's cool to hear it anywhere. You know, I even like going to games and stuff and hearing it is pretty awesome. You know, I went to I go to see a lot of the time I stay in Spokane, Washington, and I go to see the Triple-A hockey team there, the Chiefs, the Spokane Chiefs, and go Chiefs. And they'll play some songs there, like even from when I did a minute, touring around with Powerman 5000, and so I'd get like a good like four or five songs, played during the game, and my little nephews would be with me, and they'd just be like soaking it in. They loved it. I thought that was better than any strippers.
I just thought of the perfect comeback for you. You ready? You're at a strip club. The girl convinces you to get a lap dance. She puts on Smooth Criminal, and she says, you owe me $20. And she said, nope, you need an ASCAP license. You owe me $200.
Oh, yeah. That was the greatest line ever.
That was good. Shut up, Michael. That was pretty good.
That's worth phony credentials. I might actually look into that. I get me like a... like a friggin' publishing deputy badge or something to flash.
Wait,
might get you out of some pay situations.
How would he get the money? Didn't Michael Jackson write that song?
They get part of it too. Just because he was a publisher doesn't mean he doesn't get.
So you were in Power Man 5000 on a tour.
You were there with Spider.
I toured with them for a minute.
I loved their first album, and then they went to Rob Zombie. And I like Rob Zombie, but what they were doing on that first album was so unique and so different that I loved it. And then they got rid of like their percussion player and got a second guitar player, which I guess might have been you on one tour, huh?
Well, yeah, much later, though. It was like a good few albums into it. You know, I had some mutual friends, and I was just kind of sitting around at the time, so I went and had some fun, made some friends. Cool. It was pretty cool. Spider's a great guy. I look up to him a lot.
Yeah, Dave wants you to send him some of the tranny porn threads.
I don't.
He does.
But you know what? As long as you're going to send stuff.
Well, Dominic, just send me his number, and I'll give it over to Dryden.
He'll
be completely satisfied and fulfilled in tranny
porn. You know what I would honestly love for our Maximum Threshold Studios? If you would ever want to send us an autographed drum head, it could beat the shit. Have the band sign it. We would love to put that up.
Yeah, actually.
He wants it beat by a tranny's dick.
I'd love to do that, so no problem.
Oh, see, I'm trying to be serious, and Mike's trying to like turn it as fun to funny. I'm not joking.
He wants you to beat it with your dong, dude.
He's a guitar player.
I can have the whole band do that, and we can film it and then send it over.
Oh, my God. Dave, pull your pants back up. Jesus Christ.
God, juveniles. So, yeah, okay.
Be careful what you ask for.
In your maturity, they're as far from mature. They're just as idiotic as we are.
Did you guys play Soggy Biscuit on the bus?
We might call it something else.
Dave's gonna rampage if you do.
Oh, God.
Is there anything better than gay hijinks? I mean, come on, let's be serious.
Yeah, strippers.
No, I mean when it's just the guys sitting around.
I don't just sit around with guys. You're the only guys I sit around with, and it's pathetic in my life. So, he's a rock star. He doesn't sit around with dudes. You don't go
on
to
the bus.
They bring the girls on the bus.
I've been stuck in a building with dudes for 2 months now.
So you call in groovies.
So have you hit up Al's Italian Beef yet, or while you're in Chicago?
Al's Beef. Al's Beef's pretty good. It's not bad.
Yeah.
Mr. Beef is probably better, I'd say.
Hold your tongue.
There is some great bands outside from Chicago, though. Chicago has a great history in the music industry, so. And
totally.
Your producer has worked with several of those great bands, so.
Yeah, a couple of my friends, too. Like, I'm pretty, I know Dan from Disturbed. I know Adam from Soil, you know. Good guys, like always fun to hang with them coming through Chicago or whatever.
Well, did Disturbed? I heard they were like taking a year or two off. Is that correct? I mean, do I have my information wrong?
Oh shit! Fuck if I know, dude. I'm really not too sure.
They're on hiatus because their bass player is in Adrenaline Mob, and he joined Adrenaline Mob when the rest of the guys went on hiatus or something.
Yeah, that's right.
I see.
Small world.
Yeah, and since...
I haven't heard too much. I've been kind of buried.
Well, yeah, you're a rock star.
It's funny, you'd think you'd hear about it here, though. But
So, how close to now... You said you've been recording for a little while. What's going on? I mean, you have an estimated date possibility on this thing? Maybe 6 months, a year?
No, beginning. We're shooting for the beginning of the year. You know, as close to the beginning of the year as possible, which probably means like an early February kind of thing. You know, we've taken this much time, and now we're just kind of trying to take as much time to make the best that we can. We started this thing with over 40 songs, and we've narrowed it down to, you know, a third of that, and even still writing as we go, you know. So it's a pretty thorough process, and you know, we're gonna finish up when it's finished up, and we're gonna, you know, maybe take some maybe do a couple of strings around the States before the end of the year, maybe even jump over to Europe, hopefully maybe once before the end of the year and before we break for the holidays, and then come the beginning of the year, it's gonna be a full court press.
Now, if you ever decide to do a tranny song and put it on a B-side, can you dedicate it to Mike?
Damn.
Wait, what was the question?
I wasn't a question. It was a comment.
You might have to get in the dedication line.
See?
Well, so, I'm not going to lie, dude. A post-op tranny, if she was cute, I would totally bang her. As long as the penis was gone, I don't care. I'll be the first to
do it. My theory is I don't care if it doesn't look like a dude. It was still a dude, and now it's just a fucked up dude. So, it's still a dude. Right.
Dominic, you're going to have to give me Mike's number. I'll give it to
you. Why? Are you post-op?
Post-op.
He's pretty passable. He's pretty passable. Hey, I'm not joking about the drum. We'd love to have it at our Maximum Threshold studio. So we'll have Dominic get your information.
Okay. Sure.
I got a question here. This came from Dan Rudd. It was just emailed into us here, and he's asking. He goes, Terry, what are future
Dan Redsky.
He wants to know what are future tour plans, any Inland Empire shows in near future, and what's up?
What's up, Ah the Dick? I think I know that dude.
I think so too.
Plans, as far as the Inland Empire is concerned, you know. My plans for the Inland Empire is kind of like get home and finish building the fence in my front yard and start landscaping my front yard. it's literally like hard to get any free time to do stuff like that. So it's when I'm home, that's what I want to do. I think we do. Actually, we are. We're planning a Christmas thing. We're going to do a taping, like a DVD taping. Of the band playing with the RCC Symphony, which is the Riverside Community College there. They got a pretty good music program and some people involved that we know. And we're going to go for Christmas. We're going to go play, a bunch of old songs and a bunch of new songs and probably some Christmas songs with the symphony and film it for a DVD and do the whole thing for charity.
Nice.
So, that's cool. As far as the Inland Empire is concerned, that's about all I know right now.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, have you ever played with the symphony?
Have you ever played?
Conceivably, it sounds pretty cool. So.
Have you ever played with the symphony before?
No, I mean we've done string arrangements on other records and. I've jammed with string players, not like a symphony, but like I've jammed with string players before, as well as lots of other different musicians, and different instrumentalists. But it's always like something fun for us. We get pretty nerdy about it, so it's kind of just like raising the bar up a little bit and having some fun with it. Should be really cool.
If you ever need a triangle player, Dominic is perfect.
Hey, I'm pretty good on the damn triangle, man.
We're gonna do like Metallica S&M, but it's gonna be like Ant Farm, like trans and transgender.
I'm there.
It'll be way better than Metallica. I'm gonna tell you that much.
Ain't that the truth?
Oh man, it's hard to believe a band that was good at one time sucks as bad as they do now. Hey, I saw Metallica.
Nice.
Hey, I saw Metallica back in '86, and they were amazing. When you see a band like that was just awesome, and then the stuff they put out now, can we, as an original, I guess you would call me an original fan, because in '86 they didn't have that many, not until they got big, and then to see it turn into this, I'm like, okay, Lou was a horrible album. The Lou Reed album they did, that was not good.
Oh, yeah. I haven't even heard one note off of that.
You're not
so
missing anything.
They even put it down. Come on. You're not even if you know your album sucks, you're not supposed to put it down and say, it wasn't what we thought it was going to be. you're supposed to lie and say, I put all heart into this thing. Buy a couple records.
Yeah, I was going to, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I was going to say, I can't lie. Like when I put on Metallica, I tend to, gravitate towards the older stuff and the stuff I grew up on, and the much more raw stuff. It's funny. I'm working on this like raw, rock alt quasi pop record. And all I've listened to, like, when in my downtime is just all this like ferocious punk rock and thrash metal from my youth, I've been going back into old COC and friggin'
awesome.
you know, like Old Slayer, whatever, all of that stuff.
Which punk
but,
band?
Yeah, the... with Metallica, I tend to go back further too. You know,
which punk? Okay, you said listen to old punk. I don't, you know, COC is like sort of crosses both borders. You know, punk and metal.
But
so what,
they,
what
they were punk no, at
no,
first.
Let me rephrase that. COC's first record, Eye Against Eye, which is about as fucking gnarly punk as you can get. It's brutal. I don't, a lot of people don't even know about that record, but that was where I came into the band. I listened to them for that, for Animosity, and I liked Technocracy a little bit, but after that, I'm not a big fan. I didn't like when they crossed over to metal. I was more
their,
a fan of their punk.
Their new album is really good, though. The new album that he just put out 7 months ago is really good.
But I hope it sounds like Eye Against Eye.
See, like,
it, well, it's no, stripped it's, down. It's very stripped down.
It's not. It's more like. See, like, I like. I respect what COC did at first, but honestly, I liked them more when they did cross over. So Dave's telling you about their new album. Their new album is more like the earliest part of their crossing over. It's not like
kinda
that.
Kind of like Blind and whatnot.
Yeah, it's not the punk stuff that made them the legends. It's the other stuff that.
Yeah.
It's a very doomy.
But see, the difference between...
I'm an old skate punk, so I kind of tend to gravitate towards that shit I used to like skate to.
Yeah, see, like the...
Which was a lot of that skate rock stuff.
A lot of bands, when they cross, like, they change, like Metallica. They don't do it well. Like, at least COC has, you know, they changed, but, you know, a lot of people thought they were good one way. A lot of people thought they were good another way. And stuff like, you know, and like some people say, like, you know, some bands crossed over. Did DRI really cross over? You know?
Yeah, I think they got a lot more metal than their earlier stuff. Their first, I used to have their first record, Dirty Rotten LP, on vinyl, and that was pretty damn punk, man. And so it was dealing with it was very punk shit, man. That was stuff I was listening to when I was a young punk.
Yeah, that's when they were...
But then they crossed over, they got fully metal. You know, a lot of those bands went metal, but it was cool. I crossed over right with a lot of them. I liked it, you know. I was kind of straddled. I was down with the thrash metal, and I was down with, like, hardcore punk, too.
Hey, I know you've asked, I got a question, but and you've probably answered this question a million times, okay? It's a Michael Jackson question, so you've probably been asked it about a billion times, and honestly, I don't know the answer, so I forgot how to ask what the hell. Was it really him on your song, or was it sampled off the original? And did you meet Michael Jackson? Did you get feedback on your version of the song?
First, what part of the song are you talking about?
The one
the screams? Like
yeah,
the yelps?
The who, you know, the...
I can't... that was the singer.
I
the yelps, yeah.
I don't know
the bows. That was Ty.
Really?
So it was neither. It wasn't a sample, nor was it actually Michael Jackson in any way. It was Ty. Yeah, Ty did those.
Wow.
Ty does them live as well. And to answer the other question, yeah, we did get lots of feedback from him on the song, including when we were shooting the video. We worked very close with him and his camp because we, you know, we're fans. We weren't trying to fuck around and be mean or anything. Like, we're fans, so we wanted to pay tribute, and we wanted to be extremely respectful about everything we did in the video. So we worked with him, and he actually had say-so in what happened in the different vignettes. It was really cool, and you know, and way back then, you know, we heard that that he really dug us, you know, that he really liked the song, et cetera. Even later on, when we went to go play the tribute concert, you know, we got to meet, you know, most of the family and also people that, you know, worked very close with him for years and years and years, including people like his, you know, his own personal photographer for years, guy who's taken shots, you know, of him, like, you know, famous shots that you've seen all your life probably, and all these people were telling us that he was a huge fan, as well as them, but the coolest thing was to hear how much he liked it, and he thought we were extremely bold and courageous for doing it, and he loved it. So that was, you know, even all those years later, to hear from people that were close to him that he dug it, I was pretty, you know, pretty impressed, and it was a good feeling.
So
good accomplishment feeling.
What made you choose Smooth Criminal instead of, like, Thriller or Dancing Machine? Because I would have done Thriller just so I could do the Thriller dance in the video.
Well, I think... I think if you think about it rhythmically, you know, Smooth Criminal is the best song set up for a heavy transition, you know?
Yeah, like, I mean, you guys...
Beat It would have been a good
already
one.
Heavy on its own. In fact, I think his version is heavier than ours. The synth basses and stuff are just so heavy, and the way he delivers his vocals and shit, like, it's really heavy, man. I think that there was really, like, no other choice, and we were kind of... You know, playing it back and forth at practice a bunch, just messing with it, and then we took it to a stage one night, you know, a long time before anyone even really, you know, we were a big local band or whatever, and we played it at one of our shows, just a piece of it, and everyone went crazy, so we went home and figured out the rest, and the rest was just
I think you guys did a great job with it. I'm actually, you know, if people don't already question my musical taste, I am
your
a
your sexuality too.
I said musical taste. What? You know, Michael Jackson, I'm a fan of Michael Jackson and the Jackson 5. And I've said a million times.
Great music. He was like the greatest entertainer, you know. He was
outside
awesome.
Of Liberace.
Like, levels
That's
me.
David Lee Roth.
Well, no, I think Beat It would have been a good... Beat It would have been a good, you know.
Yeah, but Beat It's too obvious because it has that blistering guitar solo. Like, what they did with Smooth Criminal, you know, I'm not powdering your nuts. You guys really did a really good version of it.
Bad's a good tune.
Thanks. Thank you.
I thought you did a kick-ass version. Remember the first time I was like, holy shit, Michael Jackson transferred. I mean, you know, not knowing it was you guys at the time. I was like, because the first time I heard on the radio, I'm like, holy shit, Michael Jackson turned over to metal.
I saw the video first.
Yeah, right.
I've never had cable. I haven't had cable since 1983. So I'm a little outdated.
I wish that guest appearances were a lot bigger back then when we did that. It would have been cool to actually have him guest on it somehow. I bet it would have happened if we would have tried.
That'd have been nice. What do you guys think?
Rocking out?
Yeah, we are. I'm jamming. I'm not joking.
We're just listening to it.
We're listening to you play.
Yeah, I just found out today that the people on the phone can hear what we're playing on the soundboard. Before, it never worked before. So I was testing out my phone.
It must have been an accident.
I was testing the phones out.
Yeah, I could hear it in the background. It's not too loud, though, or anything.
Well, we don't want to overshadow your voice, so that's the reason. Right here.
Wait, it's a solo. Let's listen.
I'll be turning it up then.
Yeah, that was me.
Really?
That's sweet. Dude, what do you think about Jennifer Batten when she was playing with Michael?
She's great.
Oh yeah,
she's really awesome. She's legendary, man. She can play the shit out of guitar, and she's just like, what a big, giant Amazon of a woman, too, you know? It's like, you better like her or she'll kick the shit out of you.
I remember seeing her when he did the Super Bowl, and she was playing. I was like, damn. Just seeing this chick just ripping these solos out, and it was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Well, Dom's only 5 foot tall, so every woman's taller than him.
You know what was really cool, too, was when we did the tribute, you know, we kind of chummed up with Michael's band because they were the ones that were kind of backing all the other artists that were doing it, you know. And so we kind of met the band and then chummed up with them, you know, did the whole, you know, musician bonding thing, and they kind of took us in, you know. And to this day, I'm still pretty cool friends with Tommy O.
Oh, cool.
Who is Michael's guitarist, you know, the big buff dude.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, you've seen in the movie. He's in the movie, and like, he toured with Michael for years and years and years, you know. And that guy's the sweetest guy on the planet, and we got to rock out together on stage in front of like 80,000 people, and he was cool enough to give me his number. Now I text him every now and then and say, hey dude, you're rad.
That's what Dom looks like. That Dom's like a big buff black guy.
But just take some more weed.
No, that's what he likes, not what he is. No. Hey, is that the big...
I was going to say, I met Dom, you know, but I never caught on to his preference.
So, no, is that the largest crowd you ever played for? What is the largest crowd you think you ever played for? I don't mean like simulcast live or, you know...
It was probably, there's been festivals in Europe and stuff that have been like that kind of crowd, you know, where it's that big. And it's not necessarily like everyone's there for you. Obviously, it's a festival. It could be like the people waiting to turn around to see Santana. You know what I mean? But in the meantime, they're they're facing the other direction watching you. So you end up playing to a good, like, 50,000 people, 60, whatever, you know. So
that's be cool, though.
Did you ever shit your pants on stage?
It's great, man. It's always a pretty fun rush.
Did you ever shit yourself on stage, like, had, like, Thai food or something that really fucked you up and you threw a little mud when you were playing a solo? You were putting too much trust in the fart?
Oh, no. No, you mean have I ever, like, sharted on
sharted.
On stage? No, I think sharted, I mean, yeah, shat or shart. Neither of that. I haven't done either of that. But I've you know, every once in a while you'll have, like, the perfect moment where, like, you might have, like, a nice little ripper on deck, and one of your crew guys will have to run out to adjust the mic or something, and then you can jump on his back and fucking, because they got to bend over to, like, fix the kick drum mic or something, you jump on his back and just let it fucking rip.
Now, tell the truth. I know that you picked up a groupie here and there, and she's going down on you, and that's when you fart, just to see if she stops in the middle of it.
That's
man.
Crass. Be a gentleman. Jesus.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was just
Dave,
rude.
How could you come up with something like that?
Well, my wife won't appreciate me revealing this info, but yeah, I wouldn't even deal with a woman on the road unless she was accustomed to blumpies. So,
do you frequently?
I require a blowjob while I'm taking a dump. So.
Nice. Do you indulge your wife with Dutch ovens now and again?
And then he takes the cover and puts over his Smith
criminal. But yeah, I wait until it's like the dog does one.
It was Fido.
My dog's farts
dog
are so bad.
The dog will be in bed with us usually. So.
My dogs are so bad I can't even blame mine on him because his are insanely horrible.
And he has a little tiny dog. It's like four pounds.
My dog weighs 20 pounds.
Oh, geez.
What are you talking about? I don't have a 4 pound.
I
want to
check the diet.
No, well, because he's got a smushed in face, so he takes a lot of air in when he eats.
Right.
That's why he's so flatulent.
I love space dogs.
Actually, Michael does. Sorry, Michael does have a cool dog, though. He really does.
What kind of dog, Smush Face?
Boston Pug? Terrier.
I love pugs.
No, I have a Boston Terrier. I say pugs, okay. Not drugs, but I have a Boston Terrier.
Pugs, not drugs.
I it's time for a new Smash Face for me. I had to put my pug down in December.
Oh man, that sucks.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, he was my little shadow for like 10 years, man. Yeah. He was a great guy.
Did you take him on the road with you at all?
No, he'd stay home, but you know, there was a good stretch there where I wasn't on the road, so he was just like my little shadow.
If you're thinking about something different, dude, look into the Boston Terrier. He's the best dog I've ever had.
I like
had.
Bostons. I have a couple of friends that have Bostons, and Dryden used to have a Boston Terrier for a while, and. I like them. They're cool. I really want another pug. I like pugs, and I like French bulldogs a lot. Those are cool.
Frenchies have a lot of health problems, though. And that concludes your segment of Canine Hour.
All right,
exactly.
We'll do this.
Just in case you wanted to know.
What we'll do is we're going to have you do a station promo for us, basically state your name, the kick-ass band that you're with, that you're listening to an awesome Maximum Threshold, and throw anything you want out there at the end of it.
Don't hold back.
Yeah, don't hold back. Let us know how you really
don't
feel.
Don't hold back. Oh, Jesus.
Do it in your Teresa voice.
And I'm gonna have Dominic hit you up with our address for the drumhead.
And T-shirts.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yes. Go for it.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Terry from Alien Ant Farm. You're listening to the awesome Maximum Threshold. Where Dominic likes it up the butt.
Awesome. Now, will you do another one as Teresa?
As Teresa? Oh, okay, yeah. Hey, everybody. It's Teresa from Alien Ant Farm. You're listening to Maximum Threshold, where I like playing with Mike's balls.
Who doesn't?
While Dominic 71's Mike at the same time. Sorry for the pauses. I can do it better. You know what a 71 is, don't you?
69 plus two extra balls?
Well, it's a 69 with two fingers up the butt.
Oh. Only
that was,
two?
That's that deep. Was freaking hilarious, though.
That's deep.
Well, yeah, I'm sure you guys can edit that however you want it. So.
Oh, we are going to edit that.
We'll keep all the meat
I'd love examples, though, please. You got my email.
All right, buddy. Thank you for everything. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Say hi to Jim for us. We're big fans.
Sounds good. We'll do that.
All right.
You guys have a good one. Thanks for having me on, man. Look for the record next year. We'll be out on tour soon.
Sounds good, man.
Hey, make sure you come to Cleveland.
All right. You know we will. Cleveland rocks, right?
That's right, Teresa.
Cleveland rocks.
Have a good one, Terry.
Bye.
Peace.
There you go. And here's... he like threw me off.
I know. He threw us all off. Dominic's trying to compose himself. Okay, we're going to play some commercials or something.
I'll play some Alien Ant Farm. It just threw me off. I had it on the board. I took it off for a second. Here you go, man. Let's get, I want to play something different than the same song that everybody knows. How's that?
Yeah, play something off the new album.
How am I going to play something? He said it doesn't come out the next year.
How about the newest album?
Oh, here, I'm going to play this one.
Not the one that doesn't exist yet.
Here, this one is... This is a.
I hope he does a tranny song and dedicates it to you, Michael.
Think so?
One could only hope.
Okay, we'll be back after this. Here's some Alien Ant Farm. We'll be right back. Send me a
Thank you for listening to an exclusive interview here on Maximum Threshold Radio at MaximumThreshold.net.